Welcome to On OC, the weekly podcast for the voice of OC, Orange County's only nonprofit newsroom. I'm publisher Norberto Santana Jr. This week, I'm joined by former congresswoman and candidate for county supervisor for the 3rd District in Orange County, Loretta Sanchez. Loretta, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure to be here. You know that.
Well, it's a fascinating campaign here. After Todd Spitzer was elected to district attorney, we now have a special election. The big question is whether the blue wave can continue into potentially a low turnout election here in the middle of Orange County. Loretta, you've been a household name in Orange County for 20 years. Why come back to Orange County to do a very localized county supervisor's seat after being in Congress for 20 years?
Well, first of all, remember that I never left Orange County. I would come home every weekend for 20 years. So my life and my home are really here. And I have my husband here, I have my mom, I have all my brothers and sisters. We all live in Orange. And this is my home. I mean, this is what I care about. So when I look around and I see things like the homeless situation, when I see the housing crisis we have, the fact that my kids can't live in California because they can't afford a home, then it's up to us, those who understand the beauty and the wonderful place that we call Orange County, to make it even better and to give that ability to people who currently don't have it, especially because the Board of Supervisors is in charge of issues like homelessness, mental health, health care for the poor and the working class, traffic congestion, the fire issues we have, housing. How do we ensure that those who want to live in Orange County, who have jobs here in Orange County, can stay close to where they grew up and where they want to be and where their families are? All of those reasons make me want to run in this race.
Tell me a little bit about yourself politically. Sometimes I've seen you criticized from the left for being too conservative and from the right for being too liberal. What's your governing philosophy?
Well, I'm a practical person, and people know that about me. I've never looked much at labels. I've always worked with everybody. When people used to come, when journalists from around the country would come to Washington, D.C. and say, give me an example of Republicans and Democrats who can work together, I was always at the top of the list. And remember that of the 20 years that I spent in the Congress, 16 of those were controlled by the Republicans, and yet I was able to bring back the money to do the Orange County groundwater replenishment system. That was almost $300 or $400 million of federal funds, so that we recycle all our water in the north of Orange County, and our water rates are lower, and we're water secure. We're the only water secure area in all of California for the future. Or when we needed to widen the 91 freeway or the 5 freeway or the 22 freeway, I was the one bringing back those funds, even though it was controlled by Republicans back in Washington, D.C. When you look at our colleges like UC Irvine and Chapman University, Cal State Fullerton, our community colleges, you know, gerontology department, Fullerton, that was funded from the federal government by monies I brought back. The Beckman Institute, the Mind Institute, the Climate Change Institute that we have at UC Irvine, that was funded by funds that we brought back. Chapman, it's Family Justice Center in Anaheim with the Chapman law students going over and helping domestic violence victims and other issues. That was grants that I brought back from Washington, D.C. So, you know, this is an important place. It's a beautiful place. And I do not believe there is another candidate who knows how to work with Sacramento or Washington, D.C. to get more funds to do the things that we need to do. Nor do I believe that the Board of Supervisors for the last 12 years or so has put their eye on the issues that fall right in their lap, the mental health of our citizens here, the housing crisis that we have, the addiction issues that we have, all of which have led to the homeless issue. That's just what we see. But when we see the real pieces that brought all of that together, we see the inability of this Board of Supervisors to make decisions and to decide that they want to fix these issues.
You know, one of the issues where I remember directly having dealt with you was on the issue of the Courtyard Transition Center, an old bus terminal in central Santa Ana. We had probably 500 people sleeping outside. It's today the county boasts it as its best shelter in central Santa Ana. But I remember back when it was raining, I remember calling you late at night about this issue with the Federal Transit Administration not allowing basically it to be used as a temporary shelter. And I think within a few days, it was finally moving. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was very familiar with the transit. It was a multimodal transit center right there near the Civic Center. You know, I remember it because it was in the works to be done, and I believe it was done when I was at my first job out of MBA school, when I worked for the Orange County Transportation Commission. So see, a lot of people don't know all of my background in transportation, infrastructure, finance, but I did all of that before I went to the Congress. So I was very familiar when you called me and you said, you know, we have this transit center. I said, yes, I know it. And you said, you know, we got all these people out in the rain and it's cold and we really want to use it to house them at night. And the Federal Transit Authority won't let us do it. And I'm like, okay, let me check into it and let's see what we can do. And you're right, it was probably about midnight or 1 a.m. because I was back in D.C. and you were here in California. And I got my staff working on it. We started making calls. And I think a day later, that requirement that we could not use it for something other than transportation was lifted. We got a waiver for it. And what happened was it did become a shelter.
Now, something I think I remember, you showed up in Congress about, was it 1994? I think it was the...
1996.
Yeah, that was about the year when I was working for Congressional Quarterly covering it there. So I saw you covering. What have you learned about government from having been in D.C. for that many years? What are the lessons that you've drawn that, again, when we've got to get something lifted in the middle of the night, you can do it quickly?
Yeah, I think most of the lessons that I've learned over life have come from my mom and my dad. My mother always used to say to me, you can disagree with your brothers and sisters or you can disagree with others, but always keep the smile in your voice. So what she was trying to say is, you know, you can agree to disagree, but don't be mean. Don't call people names. Don't be nasty to them because you will need them on some other day. And, you know, growing up in a family of seven, you were always changing sides. It depended on the issue, right? Some days you were friends with your sisters trying to get an issue done at home, and other times you were on the boys' side or what have you. So what I learned is that, you know, you need to have respect for each other because you never know what issue someone can be the help on. And that's what I learned in the Congress. You always needed 218 votes. And to get there, you needed, especially in the minority, I always needed Republicans. And they needed to believe it was their idea. So we needed to sit down and talk about it. But we were always able to push things forward. And, you know, here on the Board of Supervisors, I mean, I don't have to look for 218 votes. I just need 3 to get things done. And so I think respect. And that includes none of this nastiness or name calling or, you know, people always used to say, how can you work with somebody like Tancredo, for example? Tancredo was the most anti-immigrant Congress member, even legal immigration he was against. And yet, he was from Colorado. He needed nurses. We needed nurses in California. He and I worked on the nursing bill together. And people would say, how can you work with him? I'm like, it's about nurses. It's not about immigration. You know, he and I can agree on this and we're going to move it forward because it's going to help his state. It's going to help my state. And more importantly, it's going to help Americans. Yeah. So you have to look at each person. Another lesson that I learned from my dad, everybody has something positive about them, right? And you have to look for that and you have to say, what is it that she and I can work on together? Where is she coming from? What is her motivation? What does she need so that the people who support her feel good about her being in office? I would always ask my Republican colleagues, you know, especially the ones I was very close to back in Washington, I would say, when we weren't getting to where we needed to be, I would say to them, okay, look at me. Do you trust me? Do you trust that I'm not going to hurt you with your people? And they would say, yes. Okay, well then understand that this is what I need. tell me what you need. And together we could find solutions.
Now, one of the toughest issues that we face here in Orange County is homelessness. And one of the biggest challenges we face is that most of the money that taxpayers provide to the Board of Supervisors goes largely into a law enforcement complex, being spent in a particular way. No critique of the law enforcement personnel themselves. They do a wonderful job. They take a very tough job and they do it well. But how do you think you'll deal with that? Because I haven't seen one official yet, Republican or Democrat, be able to stand up and reallocate funds in a way, as you said, that is more of a mental health approach towards something like that.
Well, look, homelessness has a lot of root causes to it. The first is the housing crisis that we have. There are just families who their rent gets bumped up $200 a month and they're done. There's just nowhere to go. Another reason is physical health. You end up with cancer or something, all of a sudden you can't work, you lose your house. Or the third thing, you have mental illness and you can't work. You have some sort of mental health need. Or the fourth thing, you're into addiction. And if you can't resolve that, you can't keep a job, you can't work, you're going to end up on the street. So those are the main reasons for homelessness. Those are the major reasons for homelessness. The other one is you're a felon. You spent time in prison. You come out, nobody wants to hire you. You can't get a job. I mean, just be practical about this. These are the reasons why we have homelessness. So when we say, oh, let's just build something and put homeless people, no, we can't. That's not the approach. You have to have what we call all the wraparound services that help. We have to get people off addiction. To get people off addiction, we need to have more addiction beds. Do you know that Orange County only has one place under the county where we can put people who want help to eliminate addiction? We actually rent spaces in Long Beach and Pomona to send our rehab people because we can't get our act together to find a place that's acceptable because neighborhoods have issues, right? When the going gets tough and you have to make tough decisions about what you do about finding, putting up a rehab center, our supervisors have just punted the ball and they've not put any up. So if you don't have rehab beds, you can't help people with that. The same thing with mental health. I mean, the county is responsible for mental health. So here's the thing. I was the only vote in Orange County. We passed Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. That said that if you're poor or working poor, you can't afford a healthcare plan, we're going to subsidize it for you and you will get a monthly healthcare plan. Great. Then we passed Patrick Kennedy, who was a friend of mine and is a friend of mine, and did the Mental Health Parity Act, which said if you have a healthcare plan, it must include mental health. So we're sending all this money for $1 billion to Orange County for mental health and physical health. But if you don't put in the programs for mental health, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. And the county is responsible for doing that. And they didn't do it. And the healthcare system, which is called CalOptima, right? It used to be the envy of every county in the state. And over the years, our supervisors had fiddled with it in the wrong way. And now you have 6 or 7 weeks wait time. If you're an indigent or poor or working class, you can't wait 7 weeks to, you know, get your flu, really bad flu or pneumonia taken care of or cancer or what have you. So we need to work on that. We have to have people who care about working on these issues. Let me tell you, Norberto, what I've been working on in the last couple of years that I haven't been in the Congress. One, for free, I've been working with Wise Place. It's a woman's shelter in Santa Ana, and I'm the co-chair to raise the money, private funds, to build a 30 micro-unit apartment building for unaccompanied homeless women. Being a woman solo, out on the street, you're the most vulnerable person. By the way, these women, about 30% of them are over 60. It's really sad to see this. But we have the wraparounds. We have mental health, we have social health, we have services, we teach them how to get a job, etc. So that's important. And the second thing I've been working on, I was very privileged. Harvard University made me their leadership fellow for 2018. And in exchange for, you know, lecturing and mentoring students and stuff, they said, "What do you want to do next, Loretta?" And I said to them, "I want to work on the housing crisis in Orange County, because I see what is happening." And so we've actually developed a program that we're going to put in where we're going to build these granny units, these auxiliary dwelling units, what they call them, and have them for sale for people who have big backyards who want to put a second unit on. They can bring their mom, for example, their aging mom. They can bring their kid who's now been divorced and can't afford $1,800 a month out on the open market. Or they can have an income-producing, generating unit. And we're going to do it inside a factory. We're going to do it with second-chance adults, people who otherwise won't get employed, but who want a good trade so they can, you know, if you're a plumber, you're earning $125,000 a year. That's not bad. And then you can afford a home, you can afford a family. We're doing it with the unions, we're doing it with the secondary schools. It's pretty exciting. So again, all of this for free. So it's not like, I mean, it's because I love this place and because I see issues and because I want to bring real solutions.
Fire services, that's another area that, I mean, the Orange County Fire Authority seems to be coming apart. Irvine wants out of it. There's a big question. More and more we have public safety services where you talk to the fire department, 90% of their calls are EMS. It seems like it's just these agencies in some ways have lost a little bit about mission creep or lost their way. What's your sense of it, the future? I know you've made an issue out of it running in the campaign.
Well, listen, my mother, I was staying at my mom's house. She's 81, you know. I was staying at her house last year when we were evacuated. When we got the evacuator, you know, on the phone, "Hey, get the heck out." We were lucky. We were on this side of the creek, so we could get out easily. But people who were on the other side, closer to the canyons, who were being evacuated, there were some problems. People were stuck in traffic. There was little egress to get out of the way. So the answer is we need to work more with our National Forest Service, with Chino Hills, our state park. Again, who can go to Sacramento and Washington, D.C. and make sure we get the funds to do what we need to do? Clear up the brush, put the breakaways on there. Who understands traffic congestion and how we move the traffic? Who can go and get this additional money? I believe the answer is me. You know, I mean, I believe that I can sit down and figure out what we need to do and figure out it's you know, you can have all the greatest plans and desires in the world, but if you cannot finance it, it's not going to happen. So I'm not saying, oh, we need much, much more money. No, I'm saying, like, let's figure out what we really need to do and let's target how we're going to find the monies to do that. Because the actual discretionary funds that the county has, about $800 million a year, as you said, most of it is taken up with our public safety.
For a long time, the Board of Supervisors has been a one-party affair, largely a Republican Party affair. I think maybe Lou Correa was the one Democrat back on there back in about 2006.
Right, for 2 years.
Yeah. Now we have Doug Chafee, who's been on there for just a few months, former Fullerton mayor. What would the dynamic be like with the 3-2?
I think the dynamic is going to be fine. Doug is learning. Doug will figure it out. When I'm on there, we'll work together. I believe that, again, you have to look at the different issues and you can work with people. I believe I can work with the other three. I've worked before with Andrew Doe. Remember, he's got the Democratic district. He's going to have an election the next time. So he's going to have to wise up and figure out, you know, how he really works with two Democrats on the board. He cannot be looking like he's stifling things because his district is a Democratic district if he wants re-election. And I believe that Lisa Bartlett, you know, she and I had a discussion and she said, you know, you were always about the policy, never about the politics, Loretta. Every time I would go to your office in Washington, D.C. or talk to you, I said, that's the way I'm always going to be. I'm always going to be. Does it make sense? Lisa, can we get to yes? How do we figure this out? So I think that, you know, that the issues will be difficult ones, but instead of having five people just in one party moving in a direction away from really solving problems, maybe we'll have an interaction of the Dems and the Republicans, or, you know, as some say, it's not even supposed to be partisan on that board. Certainly, remember, this is my hometown. I've been in Orange County in all my life. I know what a good board of supervisors looks like. I lived under good boards of supervisors when I was younger. Their people and their staff were always about policy. They were not partisan hacks. And so I think we need to move away from the partisanship, and we need to move together to solve the problems that we have. And gosh darn, don't we live in a great place where I can actually tell you, we can solve these things. Orange County can solve these problems. It's not like some other places where you look at Chicago and you go, oh my God, where do we start? I mean, this is very doable, guys. We just have to want to.
Loretta Sanchez, running for county supervisor in the 3rd District of Orange County.
March 12th, election.
Thanks as always for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And please vote. If you have a ballot right now and you're in your home, get that in. And if you don't, you're going to go in person. There's going to be early voting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before the election. Of course, on Big Tuesday, you need a ride, just call us.
Stay in touch with us at the Facebook page. This newsroom is here for you.